All right, it's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Happy 58th birthday to Axl Rose. And happy 54th birthday to Rick Astley.
They say 58 is the new 28, Dave.
Lee emailed in and says, if you download the Axl Rose GPS, instead of giving directions, it just says, do you know where you are? You can say that in your Axl Rose voice.
All right. Is the answer Paradise City? Where's this going? What's the punchline here? Or is that the punchline?
That is the punchline. Okay. You know, where he screams, do you know where you are? Well, if you have a GPS with Axl Rose, that's what it's going to say every time.
Paradise City.
All right, enough of this tomfoolery. Time to bring in Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland, who's along with us. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm actually downloading that app right now because I think I need to have Axl Rose ask me that question.
There you go.
That's pretty cool right there.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's right in our wheelhouse. So you got to have the Axl Rose GPS if you're out and about. And this always happens. I was about to say never fails. So we'll have some warm weather before the season starts, and then we'll have a couple of weekends where it's going to be mighty cold. But how are things going right now in the preseason practice schedules that you guys have had in the scrimmages so far?
Yeah, we've been able to get around the weather pretty good. We've been fortunate to do that. Today is an off day. When we looked at the weather, you know, probably about 5 days out, it looked, obviously Wednesday and Thursday looked pretty bad. So we just decided that we were going to take the worst day and take that off. So we were able to practice yesterday. I had a really light one. We did an inter squad, but just got out in the field and took some ground balls and took batting practice. And today's an off day for him. And then tomorrow we've got a 9-inning scrimmage. Emerson will be on the mound for the last time in the preseason. And then Cole will go on Saturday, and then CJ will go on Sunday, kind of their last brush up before we do it for real against Richmond the following weekend.
So looking ahead to next Friday and Saturday and I guess even Sunday, how many pitches will Emerson be throwing and Cole and CJ?
We've worked them up to right around 90. That's going to be,
oh, wow,
you know, give or take. Yeah, they've gone, you know, consecutive weekends. This is their third straight weekend going, and you know, they started at 45, then they went to 60, now they're going to be at 75. So basically increasing their workload by an inning a week. 15 pitches is an average inning, so we've increased their workload by an inning every week, and they're going to be 75 to 80 this weekend, and then we're going to be around 90 that opening weekend.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland joining us. All right, I got into it wasn't an argument, but just a conversation with one of my buddies where, okay, you start Emerson on Friday, Cole on Saturday, and CJ on Sunday. And obviously CJ is a different pitcher from those other guys. He's left-handed and doesn't throw 98 or 99. And the guy I was talking to is like, why wouldn't you put CJ in between them to, you know, change up the look there for the opposing team? But my thought is, what does it matter whether you face Wilcox on Saturday, you face him on Sunday? It's going to be just as tough. So what is your thinking on how you lay out the weekend rotation?
Well, Coach Kenny and I, we just decided that we're going to go with our two most talented guys, obviously, are Emerson and Cole. CJ is really, really good, but you've got two first-rounders that you can put back-to-back, and almost we're going to try to overwhelm people. That's what we're going to try to do on Friday and Saturday. Now, once we get into the league, you know, we play Georgia Tech in weekend three, that's not going to happen real easily because the hitters are so good. But that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to throw our two best guys out there, and then CJ, who is really, really good, is going to be so completely different on Sunday. We're just going to make people work really hard on Friday and Saturday, and then we're going to change it up on Sunday. So I get that thinking, too. We thought about putting CJ in the middle of it to change it up, but ultimately we just came down to we listed our guys where we thought they were talent-wise. One and two is Emerson and Cole.
Hey, you know, and it doesn't happen as often as it used to because you guys have more flexibility to change the weekend schedule if weather is an issue. But, man, it was always a bummer when weather was a factor and you might only play two games on a weekend and you might have your second best pitcher not pitch because he's your third starter. So, I mean, I get that also. It's not as big a deal now because the league lets you guys play doubleheaders a little easier. But in a lot of years, and you probably had to deal with that a lot in the MAC too, where you didn't even get to finish a weekend series. I mean, is that right?
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And it still happens every once in a while in the SEC. It's a little bit easier to play our games, but certainly if you look at the weather for next weekend, I mean, there's rain in the forecast. You might only play two games. And that's a great point. Your two best guys need to make sure that they get on the mound, and that's what we're going to go. We're going to go with one and two being, our true one and two, and we're not going to move it around. It doesn't mean that we won't make an adjustment if we think that that's something that we need to do, but right now we're going to go with our two best guys going one and two.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Coach, I enjoyed your Bulldogs Live a couple weeks ago when you sat down with Jeff Dantzler. One thing you guys talked about was the relief pitching this year and how much you have to replace from last year's roster. Who are a couple of the guys that you're looking at as being some of the new faces of the late innings at Foley Field?
Well, I mean, Ryan Webb and Justin Glover are the two experienced guys. Those lefties are going to be in the game late. But Jonathan Cannon is probably the guy that jumps out first. And I compare him to Aaron Shunk, but a 6'5" Aaron Shunk that throws 95, 96. Shunk was 90, 92 and threw all strikes and was so competitive and was so good on the mound. Well, Jonathan Cannon's 94 to 96 and throws all strikes and is really competitive and is really good on the mound. So we feel like Jonathan can fill that role late. Nothing says that he can't end up being our Tuesday guy. Maybe when we play Clemson, we play Coastal Carolina, we've got some of those games. That could happen as well. But Jonathan is a guy that I think you're going to see late in the game, at least early on. And then Will Childers is also a guy that we've got a lot of high hopes for. He threw on Tuesday. It's the best he's thrown since he's been on campus. Every pitch was 94-95. He's got that straight. The ball just jumps out of his hand, and guys can't lay off that elevated fastball. Mm-hmm. The breaking ball was good. The changeup was good. So Will Childers is a guy that we feel like can pitch some late innings. So we'd like to get him, some, I don't want to say easy innings, but some comfortable situations where he can go in and not be necessarily under pressure early on. But I think Jonathan Cannon's a little bit more game ready. Will Childers, I think, by midseason could be that game ready guy that we put in late in games.
Another player I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned him the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago on this show. Ben Anderson, you mentioned as somebody that could be one of those fan favorites. We'll get a lot of familiar names in that starting lineup when we get things started. But Ben started at Furman. He was on the Georgia team last year, but because of transfer rules, had to sit last year out. So you've gotten a pretty good sample size as a coach of what he can do out there. But what makes you think there or say that he will be, one of these faces of the program coming up pretty soon?
Well, he just plays really hard. He's a left-handed hitter. He gets right on top of the plate. He's a tough out. He hits the ball the other way. And the guy that I kind of compare him to, I mean, he's not a carbon copy of him, but just comes to mind is Brett Butler when he used to play for the Dodgers, and he used to hit balls right in between the third baseman and the shortstop. We call the six hole, and he can handle the bat. He can do that. He can bunt a little bit. He's a good runner, just a good baseball player. And he was a freshman All-American at Furman, and he just decided he wanted to try and play in the SEC, and we were fortunate to get him. So he did sit out last year. He redshirted. We got to see him play a lot. Just in inner squads, and man, he's kind of a silent assassin, doesn't say a whole lot, kind of a quiet kid who just goes about his business, and he's a guy that we feel very easily could be a 300-plus hitter for us.
So when you compare him to Brett Butler to the players, do they go, who is this old man you're comparing him to?
Oh, they have no idea. They have no idea. They looked it up, and they pulled up the blonde girl, Rhett Butler. No,
exactly.
Not Rhett Butler, Brett Butler.
No.
So, yeah, they have no clue. Heck, they don't know. I asked them the other day. Someone didn't know who Mark McGwire was.
Wow.
The other one, you guys are music guys. Garrett Blaylock, who's going to start at third base opening day, he asked me what my walk-up song was when I played, and I said, you know what, they just started that when I ended my career, so I never actually had one. I go, but it would probably have been something from Pearl Jam or something like that, and he goes, he didn't say who's that, he goes, what's that?
No.
And I looked at it. He had no idea. He thought Pearl Jam was a what, not a who.
That's hilarious.
I just stopped the conversation. I didn't know what to say to him. So
just walk away. That's all you can do.
There's a generation gap, no question.
Coach is like, man, now I feel like I'm 150 years old. But hey, we all deal with it. There was the pop singer back at last year who she's 18 and had no idea who Van Halen was. So I mean,
yeah,
you know, exactly. I get it. By the way, when I ran into Coach Kenny back in the fall, and we were talking a little bit about the pitching staff, and there's a good mix of the veterans, but he did say, I tell you what. We've got some really good freshmen, but be patient with them because there are going to be some freshman moments with these guys, but they're going to be really, really good. So I know that was something that he was pointing out there too, as far as talking about some of the guys in the bullpen and guys that are being ready to go. But with Webb and Glover, the two lefties that have been around and throwing a lot of pitches, I'm very curious to see, you know, how the young guys are going to blend in with the veterans here.
Yeah, and then we kind of talked about that last year with our lineup. We had freshmen that were going to play, and you look at Randon Jernigan and Shane Marshall, and those guys played, but they didn't have to play. And in 2017, when we had Shepard and Shunk and Bradley and Maxwell, and you know all those freshmen, they pretty much had to play. And it's nice to now be in the situation where we've built the program, we've built the depth, and our freshmen are going to pitch. Our freshmen are going to play, but they don't necessarily have to right away. We're going to try to pick and choose and find those moments to kind of get them seasoned a little bit to get them ready to go. But we're going to need them. We're going to need Jonathan Cannon. We're going to need Will Childers. We're going to need Michael Polk. You know, he's another right-handed pitcher that you're going to see a lot of. Those three guys have really stood out. And then we've got a couple other freshmen, Kane Tatum, Brandon Smith, Bryce Mallier. I mean, those guys all have a chance to be really good. But we're going to bring them along as slowly as we can.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland joining us. All right, so CJ's going to pitch only. Would he even be a candidate if you needed a pinch hitter in a midweek game or on a weekend or something like that?
Well, he hasn't swung the bat in a while.
Okay.
And I think it's just he's been feeling so good. You know, he went through a back issue this summer. He sat out the entire summer, didn't do anything, and it really didn't start feeling good until he got into kind of late September is when he started, you know, have a little hop in a step. And now he's 100%, feels great. He's running around the outfield like he wants to play. I've had to slow him down. He dove the other day and caught a ball in the gap, and I stopped batting practice and turned around and stared him down to make sure that we don't do that anymore.
You didn't yell at him?
I did. Oh, yeah. Well, I just stared at him. I just gave him that look.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, yeah. That's worse.
That
worse.
But he has not swung the bat. He could step in. I actually said it the other day. I go, C.J. Smith jumped in the box right now for BP. He'd probably hit a bunch of balls over the scoreboard just because he's got that natural strength and bat whip. But he is going to be drafted as a pitcher. His future's on the mound. We need him to be healthy. He wants to be healthy. So we just made the decision collectively that he is going to focus on being a pitcher this year. Something crazy happens, he could do it. But right now, that's not the plan.
Here's my annual. Are there any rules changes or rules tweaks we need to look for this year? My annual question.
We have another annoying shot clock, as I call it. The pitch clock now is going to go in between pitches when guys are on base. So basically, you've got 20 seconds to when you kind of get on to the dirt to start your motion. And that's the whole thing. When you come set, that's when it's supposed to stop. So you can come set and then hold the ball for 10 seconds. If the clock starts to get low, you can just step off the rubber and it restarts.
No.
You can do a pickoff move, and it makes no sense to me why we're doing it. I think basically it's combating the guys that are human rain delays that take 45 seconds. It's just basically it's going to be a ball. It's not a balk. It's an illegal pitch, and it'll be a ball. You get a warning, and then it gets called a ball. I don't think you're ever going to see it called just because there's so many ways to reset that clock, but that's the one that they're trying to speed it up, but I don't know if that's going to help or not.
So basically, if I come to the set position, clock's winding down, all I got to do is just step off, and then that's all you got to do to kill,
yeah,
and then it starts
you can,
over.
You can do it again. You start 20 more seconds and step off again.
So
it didn't make sense.
Yeah. Is the hit by pitch rule still the same too? Did that change?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's still the same. I think it's the worst rule in the history of baseball. to throw a ball. There's a compilation video that we all reviewed as coaches at some of the calls that were made. There was a kid, a hitter from the University of Texas, that got hit in the helmet, and they ruled it a strike three.
Oh, my God.
Because he kind of froze, and then he turned. And then when you slowed it down, he kind of moved a little bit in, but I mean, who to say it's just not a natural? You don't know if it was a curveball. You don't know if it was going to move, which way it was going to go, and it hit him in the ear flap, and the umpire called strike three, you're out. And there has no place in our game. It had some really bad cases of changing games last year. We got it called on us twice.
Yeah.
It ended up not hurting us, but it's just a bad, bad rule.
Well, I'm trying to remember, is that reviewable? Can you go to the review on that? And,
yeah,
and if so,
yeah, you can review it.
Yeah. It's like kind of like targeting. It's like it's almost like in football, I mean, we talk about that a lot, where they're not all targeting penalties are the same. It would almost be like you said, if a guy freezes and maybe flinches in a little bit to the pitch, he's not trying to get hit by the pitch on purpose. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't.
It's made to combat the guy that gets on top of the plate and sticks that elbow out. Okay, I'm for that, but you know what? Why not just enforce the rule the way it's actually supposed to be, which if you stick your elbow out and get hit by the pitch, then the pitch is just what it is. If it was a ball, it's a ball. If it was a strike, it's a strike.
Yeah.
But your penalty is you get hit by a baseball and you don't get first base. Guys will stop doing it if they know, okay, this is going to hurt, and I'm not going to get first base. I'm going to stop getting hit on purpose. But now they just went too far, and now it's a strike, which I think is ridiculous.
Man.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. All right, Coach. I know you got to run. Thank you very much. What time are the scrimmages this weekend, or what time can folks get out for the weekend?
We'll start tomorrow on Friday right around 3:30, 3:45, and then on Saturday and Sunday, both days, right around 1 o'clock.
Okay. Awesome. Excellent. Coach, can't believe we got it a week from tomorrow. Certainly looking forward to it. Thanks for your time, as always, and we'll catch you again next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.